This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.
David Behrman joins us. You know who he is. Gatekeeper of all things gambling, especially on our digital site at ESPN. David, good evening. How you doing?
Good, Anita. How are you?
I'm well. I wore my Aaron Judge t-shirt on Daily Wager tonight, expecting him to hit home run number 61. It didn't happen. He went 1-for-4, but, you know, there's always tomorrow.
It'll happen. He's got, 10 or 11 games left. He'll get it. Don't worry. He's there.
So before we start talking about some NFL picks and plays for our listeners heading into week 3 of the NFL season, just out of curiosity, if you caught ball number 61, which they're anticipating the value to be $500,000 at auction, or the ball 62, which they are anticipating the value to be $1 million at auction, what would you do with it? Would you keep it and auction it off, or would you give it to Aaron Judge?
I would likely give it to him, but I would hope that he would give me a nice package in return. Like, I don't think I would just give it to him out of the kindness of my heart. But he's earned it. It's his ball. I tweeted out the other day when the guy who caught the 60th gave it to him for free, and obviously I'm sure he got some swag out of it. I tweeted out, I go, is this classy or crazy? And it was kind of split down the middle. Half the people thought it was a real classy gesture to just give it to him, and other people thought he was crazy for not getting stuff out of it. So
yeah, I'm not giving it. I'm taking the money, dude. I'm taking the money. I'm taking
that Judge Judge is going to be, he's going to be a half a billion here pretty soon. Like, I'm hoping he would at least give me something. I wouldn't want to give it to him for nothing. Maybe season tickets for life, maybe a trip to the World Series, maybe, I don't know, an autograph
yeah,
ball
that does
by
nothing
the whole
for
team,
me.
Or,
no.
I don't think I'd auction it. I mean, I'm standing right now in my man cave, and I probably have a couple of hundred, I don't know, thousands of dollars worth of merchandise that's just in my man cave because I like to collect. So I don't know. I don't know if I'd go to an auction. I would want money out of it, but I'm not sure I'd auction it off. I know it's worth a lot of money, but that just seems, if I can't have it, why am I giving it to someone else? You know what I mean? I don't know.
I hear you.
I see what you mean.
I would just full transparency. I would auction it off. Sorry, not sorry. If he wants it, he can buy it from me. That's fine. All right, let's dive. What?
Is blow it up like some fans did back in the day. But anyhow, go on.
All right, let's talk about NFL Week 3 and some of your picks and some of your plays. Just a reminder, all week long on ESPN, Chalk Column, we've got columns that we've got the Thursday night column that posts. We've got the week column that posts. We've got the Monday night football column that posts. So make sure you log on to ESPN.com and check out all our picks and all our plays. Everybody contributes to the column, so make sure you do that. With that being said, let's talk about week 3, and let's kick it off with the Raiders, right? They lose a very disappointing loss in overtime to the Arizona Cardinals, which, by the way, for all you fantasy football freaks out there, if you've got Renfro, he has been logged inactive. He is not going to play this week, unfortunately, because of the concussion that he did suffer at the end of that Arizona Cardinals game. But nonetheless, this is a Raiders team. They are favored on the road heading to Tennessee by 2.5. The over-under is at 45.5. What's your play here, David?
I think these two teams, it's a perfect example of not all things create equal. They're both 0-2 in drastically different ways. The Titans have looked like absolute garbage in both their games. You lose week 1 in a game you shouldn't have lost to the Giants, and then you just get the doors blown off of you on Monday Night Football from the Bills. And you have a Raiders team who easily could have won both games. They were right there with the Chargers at the end before losing by a field goal. And we all know what happened in the Arizona game, blowing a 20-0 lead. I think the Raiders are the better team. I think the Raiders are better positioned. And I just think I happily will give the 2.5 to have the better team here. I worry about the Titans. I think if Mike Vrabel didn't get that team to number 1 seed last year, he could potentially be a hot seat candidate. And depending on how bad their season goes, I just don't think they're very good. Anybody who watched the game on Monday night realized how bad their defense is. And Tannehill's day has come and gone. Derrick Henry has some tread on him. And I've liked the Raiders from the beginning. Disappointing 0-2 start. I took the over in the Raiders win total. I took them as a long shot to win the West. May not happen with an 0-2 start, but I think they do bounce back and beat Tennessee here.
You've got a Ravens team that looked great in the beginning against your Miami Dolphins. And then they suffered some injuries in the secondary, and Miami with the two wide receivers who run 4.3 40s. Hasta la vista, baby. So now the Ravens have to pick themselves up, travel to New England to take on a Patriots team. They are favored by 3 on the road. What are you playing here?
I like the Ravens, and I know they blew the second half lead to the Dolphins and their speedy wide receivers with some injuries at the cornerback and safety position, but I don't think New England's in any position to take advantage of that. I have not been impressed by what I've seen out of Mac Jones the first 2 weeks or the Patriots offense as a whole. I think they're going to struggle all year long. They snuck by a not very good Steelers team last week while the Ravens looked like Super Bowl contenders in the first 3 quarters versus the Dolphins. I do have concerns about that defense, but as I just stated, I don't think it's an advantage that the Patriots take advantage of. I don't think their offense is very good at all. I think the Ravens are maybe not as good as we saw for the first 3 quarters versus Miami, but not as bad as we saw for the 4th quarter versus Miami. I think Lamar Jackson will have his way versus the Patriots. I expect a low-scoring game. The Pats do have a good defense. But ultimately, I think the Ravens are the better team here. They're a 10-11, 12-win team. Well, the Patriots are going to be a below 500 team. And I think 3 is a small price to pay here. And it's definitely a little bit of a line overreaction from the Patriots winning last week and the Ravens blowing the lead. But I do like to lay the 3 right here.
The Texans, not that this is a game that many people are going to tune into, but nonetheless, I like your play here. The Texans on the road, traveling to Chicago to take on Justin Fields and the Chicago Bears. I think people are sleeping on just how good this Texans defense has been the first 2 weeks of the season. And now you're going up against a Bears team. Offensive line is horrible. Not a lot of offensive weapons. And this is a Texans team. Now they're getting 3 on the road. How are you playing this?
I agree with you. I like the Texans. I'm going to take the 3 on the road. I've been on them the first 2 weeks of the season, so let's go for the 3-peat here. Working with friends in a contest of last man standing in terms of taking somebody each week. I've been on the Texans the first 2 weeks of the season, and I think you're getting a good price here. I think Texans can win this outright. Chicago won week 1 versus San Francisco in a really bad weather condition game with a quarterback for the Niners, Trey Lance, who wasn't really ready to play in that game and obviously is not, there for the rest of the season. I think Chicago just happened to be in the fortunate situation week 1 versus Lance and bad weather. And you saw how good they're not in Bay last Sunday night. And I've been on the show many times, Anita, touting Bears under 6.5, Bears under 5.5. I even took a stab at Bears to have the worst record in football this year. Obviously, the win week 1 didn't help that bit. I don't think they're any good at all. Justin Fields, they refused to let him, as they might say, with Russell Wilson. Wilson threw the ball 11 times last week. The Texans have looked good through the first 2 weeks of the season, and the Bears, to me, have not, and I like the points here.
Again, David Behrman joining us here on 98.7 ESPN, all things ESPN. You want to make sure that you check out all our columns. It's not just NFL, it's college. It's a number of columns that we post each and every week, getting you ready for a variety of sports. Let's talk about the Lions and the Minnesota Vikings, right? Like, the Lions are putting up, averaging 30 points a game, but they're also giving up 30 points a game to their opponents. I love the over here. That's my favorite play in this matchup. I like over 52.5. But this is a Minnesota Vikings team back at home after a disappointing loss last week, and they're favored by 6. What is your play here?
I do think you're right on the over here, especially if it drops a little bit in the 51 or 52 range. I just like the Lions, buying it up to 7 if you can. Even take the 6. I don't mind the 6 at all. The Lions have looked, they looked pretty good the first 2 weeks. They covered against Philadelphia, and you saw them go out and smash D.C. last week. Vikings on short rest after getting blown out of the water on Monday Night Football by the Eagles. And I actually thought this line would be closer to 4, 4.5, so I'm a little surprised it's 6. I do think Minnesota will play better. We all know the drill by now. Cousins at home is heck of a lot better than Cousins in prime time on Monday and Sunday night football, as we've seen. The Vikings looked really, really good against the Packers at home 2 weeks ago. But actually, the Lions are better than people think they are. You know, are they going to win the division? No. But I don't think the Vikings are either. I think the Vikings were week one Super Bowl champions, and we'll leave it at that. Everybody's excited about that, and people actually thought they were going to, you know, fight the Eagles last week, but I was all over the Eagles, as we stated on this show. I do like the Lions. I think their offense is hitting on all cylinders, and the Vikings' defense isn't very good. Maybe the Vikings win this game, but I'll happily.
Before we let you go, let's do one more, and that's the Rams taking on the Arizona Cardinals, having to travel to Arizona. Man, the Rams almost lost to Atlanta last week. There's just something really wrong with this Rams team. Is it a Super Bowl hangover? Who knows? But I'm on the Arizona side. I like the fact that they're getting 3.5. You don't even have to buy the hook. How are you playing this one?
You know, I think the Cardinals found something in the fourth quarter versus the Raiders last week after looking awful. I mean, they looked like the worst team in football for the first 7 quarters of the season. I actually think the Rams looked like the Super Bowl champs for the first 3 quarters versus the Falcons before almost giving it up in the fourth. And I think if we isolate that fourth quarter of both games and you take the Rams blowing it to the Falcons almost and the Cardinals' miraculous comeback versus the Raiders, if we take those 2 quarters out, I think this Rams line would be closer to 6 or 7. Sean McVay has owned Arizona 10-1 against the spread and straight up as the Rams coach versus the Cardinals. The Rams are the better team here. I'm hoping to buy down the hook and give the 3 on the road versus Arizona. Can I see Arizona winning this game? Yeah, I can. I like what Kyler Murray did in the fourth quarter, but I still think it's a team that isn't very good right now without DeAndre Hopkins. Not many weapons to throw to on offense. Connor's banged up, et cetera. I do like the Rams to win this one and assert themselves as the division, basically the division leaders.
Great stuff as always, David. Always appreciate your time on this late Friday night. Thank you so much, my friend. Good luck this week.
Thanks. You too. Enjoy.
You got it. David Berman joining us here on 98.7 ESPN. Again, our gatekeeper, all things gambling on our digital platforms at ESPN. Again, make sure you check out all our columns, getting you ready for this week in college football as well as NFL week 3. I can't believe it's already week 3. I just can't. I mean, this is what happens each and every year. Don't you feel that way? It just like flies by.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to Week in Wager here on 98.7 ESPN. It is time for our Elias Insights. That's right. We usually have Randy Robles on, but we've got Jimmy Wright tonight, and he's going to write this ship for us. We're going to break down 3 games for you, and Jimmy's going to give us some Elias Insights. I like to call them nuggets. I try not to, but I just have to get that out. So, Jimmy, welcome in. How are you this evening?
Hey, Anita, how are you? Thanks for having me on. I knew that you were going to bring up Randy. I know you're number one in this fan club. I hope I can do him justice today.
Oh, I'm sure you will. Oh, come on. You'll probably outshine. I have no doubt. All right, so let's jump into it. And I love the 3 games that you have highlighted here, in my opinion, are possibly three of the best games that we're going to watch in week 3. So let's start with Baltimore and the Patriots. Word today is that Unfortunately, Lamar Jackson's dealing with some kind of elbow issue, but he's telling folks, media in Baltimore, don't worry about it. It's nothing. I'm going to play. Don't worry about it. What are the Elias insights pertaining to this matchup, Baltimore and the New England Patriots?
Yeah, so this is an interesting one. Baltimore, not really the team of old that you would think, right? I always think they were built on that defense and kind of dragged along the offense, but not so much this year. They're giving up the most rushing yards. They're giving up the most yards per game on offense already, which is unusual for them. And they really are led by Lamar in that offense. I mean, we saw it last week in that shootout against the Dolphins. He threw for over 300. He ran for over 100. It's really, they're built on that offense. And I would just point out, for if we have any in-game bettors listening, they really run hot and cold. If you look at the first half of Ravens games, they're outscoring their opponents by 2 touchdowns. They're averaging 19 points first half, only giving up 5. But in the second half, they get outscored by 8.5 points. That's the 10th worst differential. So they have the best differential in any half in the first half. And then in the second half, they really aren't closing out these games. We saw them blow that big lead. It's only the second time they ever had a 21-point lead and lost the game last week when they blew it to the Dolphins. So, if Lamar is hurt, they are really going to be in some trouble.
Interesting. I like it. So maybe a little coin on Baltimore. I want to say, if I remember correctly, I want to say they're -3, -3.5 in the first half.
Yep.
That could be a really good play. And also, we just had, I'm not sure if you're aware of Sport Trade. It's the stock market meets gambling. So for folks that were just listening in to the Sport Trade segment, maybe that could be a good play there. Buy into Baltimore, have them go up, and then turn around and trade that value, trade that stock, right? Back to Sport Trade. That's a great insight right there, Jimmy. All right, game number 2. Let's talk about the Bills and the Miami Dolphins. I have a feeling that your insight is, I'm not going to use the word shocked, but you know, there's got to be something here in regard to a short work week. There's got to be something here in regard to the Bills heading down to Miami and playing in 100 degrees weather. I would imagine something in that regard.
I don't have anything specifically on the weather. We don't control it, right? We try not to look at it too much. But when I'm from
Miami. I've been telling folks this. Growing up in Miami, we did not go to Dolphin games in September because it was too warm. I can't imagine putting on a uniform and playing in that. Forget about it. Not for me. So the Bills are going to have their hands full. But back to you, back to Elias, back to your insights. What do you have for us?
Well, you know, it's funny that you mentioned the weather because Josh Allen looks indestructible. In his last, he lost his first game to the Dolphins of his career. Since then, he's won 7 in a row. He's played Tua 3 times. He's 3-0 against Tua. He's covered twice against Tua. One of them, the game was a push. Everybody knows Buffalo's dominating, right? I could give you plenty of insights on that if you'd like to hear them. But really what struck me when I looked at this game is how good Miami has been recently. You know, we know last year they finished 9-8. They didn't make the playoffs. But if you look at their last 11 games, 9-2 against the spread, they've gone 10-1 over their last 11 games. And I realize they've gone through a coaching change, right? Flores last year, Mike McDonald now. But this offense is just explosive. Last week, again, that shootout against Baltimore, Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle became the first pair of teammates to, in the same game, 10 or more catches, 150 or more receiving yards, and 2 touchdowns. I know, Anita, you like to talk fantasy. We have 5 of the top 12 fantasy football scorers in this game. So, you know, the weather is definitely going to play a part, but I would not be surprised if we see another shootout in this one. Buffalo leads the NFL in scoring. Miami's tied for 4th. We could see a lot of points in this one.
Would not surprise me either. That's for sure. And last but not least, Jimmy, give us the Elias insights on Green Bay and the Tampa Bay Bucks. The Bucks dealing with, I just feel like each and every week it's like another guy goes down, right? Like Josh Wells now is down on the offensive line. Wide receiver wise, who's going to suit up and play? Breshad Perriman? Like, I just feel like each and every week the Bucks are just like more injury riddled. Curious, what are your Elias insights with the Packers and the Bucks?
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that. Green Bay right now, 7th worst against the rush. Fournette had a big game against Dallas, right? Ran for 127. Only 65 rushing yards against the Saints. But like you said, Mike Evans is not playing. Chris Godwin, Julio Jones, both questionable. It's funny. This is Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers. But even the Packers, both of these teams are struggling passing the ball. Last year, the Bucs were first. The Packers were eighth. This year, the Packers are 20th. The Bucs are 23rd. So neither one's offense has really gotten going. I see this game 42 at the over-under, and I'm thinking, is that too many points already? Both teams have hit the under twice already. Bucs games are averaging 26 points, Packers 33.5. You know, the Bucs have only scored 39 points. That's not what we think when we think of a Tom Brady-led offense. But, you know, the way it's played so far, like you mentioned, with the injuries, this might be a low-scoring one. One other thing to point out, Packers last four games on the road, 0-4 against the spread.
Wow. Great stuff, Jimmy. So appreciate you for joining us. Again, these are your Elias Insights. Each and every week, we like to present them to you, and we feel that with this Elias Insight, we make you a more intelligent gambler and a more intelligent, is it wager? Is that even a word, Jimmy? I don't even know. It could be a Marxism. Who knows?
Of course.
But there's more than just these three games, because Elias has an amazing app called the Elias Game Plan app. Jimmy, before we let you go, let the folks know, how can they find it, download it, all that good stuff.
Yeah, the Elias Game Plan app, it's in the app stores right now for either iOS or Android. Like you said, this is just a small amount of the information I came with, and this is only for three games. We cover every game every week. We have fantasy football insights, betting insights, up-to-the-minute injury news. So, you know, I like to say, whether you want to win your fantasy league, whether you want to lay some coin on a bet, or if you just want to impress your friend while you're sitting around watching the games, our app is certainly the one for you. I would say go download it. You got 2 days. Get it in before Sunday.
There you go. Jimmy, thank you so much. Really appreciate you. Jimmy Wright joining us from the Elias Sports Bureau. Always great having you on. So much to digest. And how do these Elias Insights equate in regard to how I would be gambling in these games? We'll jump into that next. You're listening to We Can Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the best of ESPN New York tonight.
Welcome back to We Can Wager here on 98.7 ESPN, and we've got one of the best handicappers in the country joining us, which is great, here on We Can Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. And that is Fat Jack. Was with us last week. Has had a very successful first 2 weeks of the NFL season, as well as college football. So he's back for some more action. So welcome back, Jack. Hi. Welcome back, Jack.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
that was
thanks,
funny.
Amit. Yeah, it all works. It all rhymes. It all works. And yeah, when we're winning, everything's great, right? The sun's a little brighter, stays out a little bit longer. The cool air in the Northeast is fine. We're okay getting the sweaters out. If we lose, we're like, oh, gosh, it's getting cold. It's going to be wetter. It's going to be dark at 3. So right now, things are going great. You know, last week we gave South Alabama out as an underdog on the West Coast. We gave we're right on a lot of what we had on the New York team. So things are going really well at this point in the season, and knock on wood, we'll keep it going this week.
I love it. I love it. All right, so since we are on here in New York City, let's focus in on the New York teams. And you've got the Jets taking on Cincinnati. The Jets, very fortunate that Nick Chubb has no football IQ and did not take a knee with 90 seconds left, and the Jets having no timeouts. And therefore, the Jets were able to miraculously pull off an upset and a win against Cleveland last week. Another AFC North opponent going up against the Jets. The Jets are getting 6 against Cincinnati. Do you have a play in this matchup?
Yeah, you know, I will tell you, the unicorns were out last week in New York City. I mean, things went really well. You got a little bit lucky, but that happens. The NFL, you're going to take advantage of those spots. I mean, that's how you get your win total up there higher, and so good for the Jets to do that. I'm a big believer in statistics as we head into week 3 as it relates to the parity in the league. And so the Jets kind of fall into this category. It looks like they're probably not going to cover this week, but I will tell you, Cincinnati's one of those teams that you just feel like is better than they played. But as we head into week 3, 0-2 teams, this is since 2010, so a pretty good sample size, 0-2 two teams since 2010 are 55 and 40 against the spread in week three. So they hit 58% of the time they cover. The subset of that are teams that are 0-2 straight up and against the spread in weeks one and two. They are hitting over 62% of the time since 2010. So week three is one of those, not always statistics and numbers will get you to a place, and they're not the only thing you need to use, but it certainly will be an indicator of what's probably going to happen. So the bad news for Jets fans, Cincinnati is one of those teams. There's very few. Carolina's one. Cincinnati's one. Vegas and Tennessee are both that way, but they're playing each other. But Cincinnati is one of those teams that was did not win, did not cover either week one or week two. And historically speaking, since 2010, those teams cover 62% of the time. So I'm going to lean. The value's gone. The number was four. Now it's up to six. If it goes any higher, I would definitely lay off. But if you make me play it, I'd lean towards Cincinnati minus the points.
I'll tell you, one of my favorite prop bets in this matchup is Joe Mixon over 75 and a half rushing yards. And you could get that at minus 115. He's got 48% of the touches in 2 weeks, one of the highest in regard to all the running backs in the NFL. The Jets have allowed 186 rushing yards and three touchdowns to Cleveland last week. And last season, when Cincinnati took on the Jets, Mixon rushed for over 90 yards against the Jets. So one of my favorite prop bets heading into this matchup is Joe Mixon over 75 and a half rushing yards. As for the Giants, they're 2-0. And listen, Daniel Jones, I know he's not making anybody's highlight reel. You're not going to see him on ESPN. He's not rushing for over 100 yards and throwing for 300. But dude's been helping this Giants team win some ball games, and sure enough, they have, again, sitting at 2-0. Now, big game Monday night here in Dirty Jersey. Giants favored by one. Big reason why, as we know, Dak Prescott is still out. Cooper Rush is there, but you know, he knows this offense. He's been in this offense for 5 years. The Giants favored by one. What's your play here?
Yeah, just win, baby, right? I mean, that's what Giants fans are saying as they head over the bridge and get out of New York or Manhattan and just win, baby. And they get a Cowboy team at the right time. You know, I've talked early in the year that, you know, there hasn't been a repeat in that division in 18 years. And it looks like Philadelphia is certainly the favorite, but the Giants are kind of finding their way. And if they're catching these divisional opponents at the right time, their record's going to reflect that. Dallas has owned this series recently, 9-1 straight up their last 10 in the series. They're 8-1 against the spread on the last night on the road. And so really, really good team as they go on the road and against the Giants. But I will tell you, I am not a Cooper Rush fan. I'm not a Rush fan really either. So I don't love the band. I don't love Cooper Rush. I don't like him going to New Jersey. I think that the Giants are in the right spot here to keep this thing low scoring, win another, kind of like what they've been doing. I mean, they're not the greatest show on turf by any stretch, but they're just winning, baby. They are 5-0 to the under their last five at home. And their 11 of the last 13 New York Giants game overall have gone under. So low-scoring game. You make me play this game, I go under the 40, under 41, whatever the total is there. And just a lean toward the Giants and one of those kind of whoever hits the most field goals win. That is a low-scoring game, and I'll take the Giants minus the points.
Here's what I don't like, and that is this is a Giants offensive line, albeit improved, is giving up the most pressure of any offensive line in the NFL. Daniel Jones has been pressured in 50% of his dropbacks, and only 45% of those, Jack, have come are without the blitz. 45 of the 50% is without the blitz. By the way, Daniel Jones is still number one in the NFL in regard to accuracy, okay, which is really, really impressive. But nonetheless, where I'm going with this is Micah Parsons, boy, he just looks so damn good this season. If you don't have money on him winning Defensive Player of the Year, run, don't walk to that window. Put some coin down on that. The prop bets have not come out for this game yet, but I'm looking for what it's going to be for Micah Parsons to log a sack against Daniel Jones with a suspect offensive line giving up that much pressure. So I would imagine it would come in, if I had to guess, somewhere around plus 175, plus 195. If you're lucky, maybe plus 205. That's what I'm looking at. So Micah Parsons sack.
Yeah. To this point, you don't want to be Daniel Jones's mom or Daniel Jones. You don't want to be Joe Burrow's mom or Joe Burrow. They are getting a lot of pressure under the total. But you're right, Parsons is going off. And if you could have got him preseason, you're getting much better odds than you are now because he is not sneaking up on anybody But yeah, those are disturbing trends, certainly for the Giants later on down the line.
Again, Fat Jack, professional handicapper, joining us here on Weekend Wager, 98.7 ESPN. Outside of our New York teams, give me your two favorite plays heading into week three. From what I understand, and we were texting earlier today, you like Houston getting the points against Chicago. I love this play as well. What is it about Houston that you like so much?
Yeah, I think this is one of the easier plays on the board, to be honest with you. And I've released this to my clients also. Everything's posted on the website, so you can see after the games go who we actually release. And you'll see Houston went out early in the week. I think we're figuring out what Justin Fields actually is. And he is not a dynamic quarterback. He's 9 of 12 starts have gone under the total. They're not scoring a bunch. Unless they're playing in 4 inches of water, we're not even sure that they can put an offensive drive together. Houston, 5-1 against the spread their last six. They are that team that kind of knows exactly who they are. They're not sneaking up on anybody. But defensively, they are incredibly sound. They've been very stingy. And in this low-scoring game, when I don't know that Chicago has any answer if they get down, I think Houston wins the game straight up. This is not going to be the game you're going to want to watch. I mean, you're going to want to bet on it and throw your TV in the lake or something. It's going to be very difficult to watch. But under the total, I think Houston's one of those. They're up 3-7 at the end of one, up 3-7 at half, and win by 10 to 14 points as an underdog. So I'll take Houston plus the points in that one for sure in Chicago.
I love it. I'm with you. A lot of people are sleeping on this Houston Texans defense. That's for sure. And you know, unfortunately for Justin Fields, suspect offensive line, it's not like the organization did much for him, either in free agency or the draft. You know, not able to pass the ball extremely well because he's under duress pretty much, you know, 85, 90% of the time. So I think it's all about this Texans defense that really has been quite good, but not enough people are talking about them. So for me, I'm with you. I like the Texans. Give me the three. I'll also play them on the money line for sure. The other game is the Patriots going up against the Ravens. Some reports today, or I should say this week, that Lamar Jackson has not been practicing or limited at practice. He's dealing with some soreness, his elbow. I know he came out and told the media in Baltimore, don't worry about it. It's nothing. I'm going to play. Like, it's nothing to see here. Keep on walking. Nothing to discuss. The over-under here is at 44. What side are you on?
Yeah, you know, I'm one of those, and I think we talked about this last week, that until further notice, I'm an under-better with New England in the game. I don't think they have any idea what they're doing offensively. They have zero trust in their quarterback right now. And so, and when you have a coach that is so established and so good as Belichick has been, they're going to do exactly what he needs done to keep them in games, just like they did last week against Pittsburgh. We had under as an easy winner last week against Pittsburgh. And Baltimore, although they put up a bunch of points, you talked about the injury to Jackson, they also are a team that is going to, especially on the road, be more conservative, punt the ball away, not go for it on fourth down. Six of their last eight games on the road have gone under the total as well, Baltimore, that is. So I think there's a lot of reasons why this is a safety-first situation, play the field position, shorten the game, and go under the 44. I think that's another one of the easier plays on the board.
Hey, before I let you go, I want to give you my best bet, and that's the 49ers. -1.5, huge swing here in regard to the odds makers, and obviously a big reason why Jimmy Garoppolo gives them a better chance than Trey Lance. With all due respect to Trey Lance, very sorry that he got injured. But Jimmy Garoppolo gives this team a better opportunity to win. Their defense is top five. Hercules is the officiating crew that's going to be overseeing this game. Does not bode well for the Denver Broncos, who I think Nathaniel Hackett is in over his head. 25 penalties for -209 yards. I think the 49ers roll here, and I'm happy to lay the 1.5 with them on the road. What are your thoughts about that matchup?
Yeah, you know, they've been – Denver's defense has been really good. They're top 10 in yards allowed, only 18.9 points per game. And so I do think this is that we feel like we're getting the better, more established quarterback with San Francisco. And right now, I don't know how anybody puts any money on Russell Wilson. He looks like the quarterback we saw last year when he was playing in Seattle. He's missing open receivers. He's not going through his progressions. He's throwing the ball away when he really should be running. He looks just totally lost. And what we got, a lot of people thought a change of scenery would help at a huge contract, has actually done nothing for him. So I would lean under in the game. You make me play it. Yeah, Garoppolo gives him a better shot. But the value in the line's gone also because everybody realizes that. But right now, betting on Denver, you need to have a strong stomach to do that for sure. So I would definitely probably go under the total. And another one of those games, I think points will be at a premium.
Fat Jack joining us. Before we let you go, let the listeners know exactly where they can find you and for a plethora of your other plays heading into week three of the NFL season and week four of college football.
Yeah, the selections, everybody gets exactly the same place. They're text to your cell phone, they're emailed to you, they're the exact games that I'm playing, and then they're posted and documented under the results tab on the website, so you're able to see you're getting only the best selections text to your cell phone or email to you. The price is only determined by how long you sign up. I've been doing this for 27 years. The longer packages, it's less than $100 a week to win. We're 13-3 on Saturdays. Really, really strong record. Went 4-2 again last Sunday. We had under the total in the Philly game on Monday. We had Cleveland last night. We're off to a great start. And by the way, 2-0 in bases on Thursday, and up 10 games in baseball for free. You don't pay for those. They're free. If Pete Rose couldn't make money betting on baseball, I always said I would have trouble making money betting on baseball. So I don't charge for those. They're absolutely free, and they'll add money to your bank account. Go to FatJackSports.com, get signed up today, and win this weekend.
Love it. Love it. Fat Jack, thank you so much for joining us. Always a pleasure having you on. Good luck this weekend, my friend.
Anita, you're the best. Go get them. I'll talk to you soon.
You got it. Fat Jack joining us. This concludes our show, and we thank you so much for tuning in. Really, it's been a fun one. I want to thank, of course, Jimmy Wright from the Elias Sports Bureau, David Behrman from ESPN, Alex Kane from Sport Trade, as well as we just heard from Fat Jack. Jam-packed show, a lot of fun, getting you ready for this week in college and NFL. And, of course, we did touch on some Major League Baseball tonight. Just a reminder, back tomorrow, high noon, right here on 98.7 ESPN with my regular, the Anita Marks Show, from noon to 3. And, of course, really excited, as always, every Sunday, coming your way, starting at 7 a.m. with Fantasy Forecast, getting you ready for your fantasy football matchup from 7 to 8 a.m. And then 8 o'clock, Matthias Kiwanuka joins me. We're with you until 11, where Dan Gross and Greg Buttle pick up for your Jets pregame show. And, of course, the only place you can listen to the Jets on the radio is right here on 98.7 ESPN. But this concludes Week in Wager, brought to you by BetMGM Sports. Enough talk. Believe in your game. Believe in your bet. BetMGM Sports. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'll see you tomorrow afternoon right here on 98.7 ESPN.
This is the Weekend Wager with Anita Marks on 98.7 ESPN.